This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Chris Van Gorder. Chris is the CEO of Scripps Healthcare and one of the leading sort of CEOs in the nation at a great, great health system. Chris, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? And then we're going to discuss today leadership, leadership, leadership. Thank you. Chris?
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be with you again. Yes, I've been in healthcare now for 43 years, 27 of those years as the chief executive, and the last 21 years as the president CEO of Scripps Health. Actually spent some time as a police officer earlier in my lifetime, and actually still volunteer with the Sheriff's Department here in town as a reserve. I hold the rank of assistant sheriff, responsible for the reserve program and search and rescue. And I was honored to be the chair of the American College of Healthcare Executives back in 2010.
And take a moment. You've written a book on leadership called The Frontline Leader. You've also had a great leadership career. Take a moment and share with us three or four pieces of advice or thoughts on leadership that you'd share with another emerging leader.
That's an excellent question. I guess there's a number of things that I think about. Maybe the most important to me is maybe a combination of humility and authenticity. The one thing I've always tried to suggest to people is try not to be somebody else, be who you are, but recognize regardless of what leadership role we happen to hold, we may have a position of authority, but we're no more important than that frontline employee, the nurse, the doctor, the environmental service technician. They're in fact the folks that are going to be closest to our patients. So just remember that we get the right and honor to be a support person for all those people that are actually delivering the healthcare. Then I'm a big believer in accountability, and I think with accountability comes credibility. I think especially these days when personal, maybe sometimes professional accountability seems to be lacking. I'm a big believer that when you take on a responsibility, you take on the authority of that role, the three-legged stool ends with accountability. And our definition, my definition has always been, you can miss your targets once, you won't be here to miss them twice. Now, it sounds extreme, but having said that, I've never had to terminate somebody for failure to hit their goals. When people understand that hitting a goal is what they're accountable to do, be that quality, patient satisfaction, their financial targets, and people concentrate on doing that, they rarely fail. And if they do, it's a learning moment. So I believe that's incredibly important. And then communication and accessibility. I don't think you can be a leader without being a teacher. To be a teacher, you need to be a good communicator, and you need to be accessible to people. I have a personal philosophy I've followed my entire career, and I will answer every email that comes to me from employees and constituents every day. That's a sign of respect, and it's also a way to be accessible to your folks. So those are kind of my key. And then maybe there's the last one I always like to think about, and our responsibility is to take care of the me, meaning if we can take care of the needs of our employees and our staff members and take care of their concerns, they can really fully dedicate their energies to the organization and the goals of the organization. So those are the kind of the top philosophies I've always tried to follow.
When you look, Chris, at other leaders, whether in business, in politics, historical or others, are there other leaders that you admire or look up to or see as potential models for certain types of leadership?
Yeah, I've given that some thought over the years, and I have a couple. I was honored to have a chance to meet with General Colin Powell, who I think, as we all remember, was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Gulf War, Secretary of State. Certainly in that regard, perhaps a little bit of a politician, but when I spoke with him in person, humility actually came out. And here's an individual that had already been the top of the U.S. military, had not yet served as Secretary of State when I spoke with him, But he was generally humble, and he was actually concerned about me having a chance to meet and have a dialogue with him. And I could tell that he was always concerned about the people that he led. So he was genuine to me and had enormous credibility. And maybe the thing that was the icing on the cake for me was when he listened and he listened to his wife, because as we all know, there was talk about him becoming president of the United States or running for the presidency. And his wife said no, that he had dedicated his life to the military and to the government, and that she didn't want him to run for president, and he agreed. So there's a smart listener, but I also, again, I think his genuineness and his credibility was a real model for me anyway.
And so not that many men or husbands that could put their ego in check enough to listen to their wife's advice on that issue, so you applaud him for that, as well as his other great characteristics and traits.
Absolutely.
Chris, any other leaders that you think of that come to mind and you think, that's great leadership? It could be somebody currently on the stage, doesn't have to be, but anybody that you think of, you know, without getting into partisan politics, let's stay away from that, but anybody else that you think of, like, really, you look at and say, that's pretty good leadership. I admire that. And Angela Merkel, or who else do you think of as somebody that you look at and think, they're doing a pretty good job of this?
Well, there's probably plenty today, but the two others that come to mind, Ronald Reagan as the ultimate communicator. He was absolutely fantastic, and I don't know whether he brought his acting skills with him to the governor of California and ultimately to the presidency, but I don't think anybody would disagree that he had the ability to communicate to the country, certainly, but he also communicated worldwide, and we still remember a number of his quotes to this day. And maybe on the other extreme, my father, who you won't know, and he passed away a long time ago, but this is a man that had to drop out of high school during the Great Depression, was in World War II, and became a milkman, literally the milkman that delivered the milk door to door. And yet he was always proud of his job. He was hopeful that his two boys would have a chance for the college education and the education that he never had a chance to get. And what always stood out was a quote that he didn't come up with, but he used all the time, and that was, never steal from the hand that feeds you. And what he meant by that, of course, certainly not stealing, but your time, your energy, your loyalty. He always believed that a job was an honor and a privilege, and that it had to be re-earned every single day. And I followed that my entire life.
Well, fantastic. And finally, take a moment on the transition from sheriff's office and being a police officer to being in healthcare and your leadership transition.
It was a big one for me. I mean, I was, I fully anticipated that I would have a career in law enforcement and ultimately may even become a police chief somewhere. But unfortunately, a woman tried to kill me in a family dispute situation, and I was badly hurt and ultimately retired from the police department, and really blessed that the hospital that actually took care of me for many months actually ultimately hired me as a department director and gave me a chance to start in this career. Leadership is the same in many ways in law enforcement and in healthcare and perhaps in any other business, even though the mission is distinctly different. But I still think, as like a first responder, I was trained to be a first responder, and I believe to this day, hospital employees, particularly look at the COVID situation, and our people have been first responders. I always said that 9/11 is a classic example, that the firefighters and the police officers were running in while everybody else was running out, and in this case, when everybody was running into the hospitals, healthcare workers did not run away. They stood their ground despite risks to themselves and cared for their patients. And I've been extraordinarily honored to be in both professions and to work with heroes, both in law enforcement, the fire service, first responders, and our first responders, the doctors, the nurses, and the technicians in healthcare today.
And one final question, Chris. We've talked about leaders. We've talked about your transition to leadership. We've talked about your advice for leaders. Last question, any leadership books that you particularly recommend to people in leadership or aspiring in leadership or just looking to be inspired?
You know, I have three books that I keep right on my desk here. And the first one is a very simple book called Wooden, written by the famous UCLA coach, and that says a lot for a guy that went to USC. But UCLA coach John Wooden, and his book was Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections. And I think sometimes it's good, even during the middle of a day, it's a great book. You can just open up to any page and read a reflection of something that he did or said or thought during his magnificent career. And it's a huge motivator for me anyway. And then I was honored to know Peter Drucker, the management leadership guru that taught for many years at Claremont Graduate School. And he, towards the end of his professional career, he wrote a book called The Daily Drucker. It's 366 days of insight and motivation for getting the right things done. And it's very similar to the John Wooden book. I mean, you can look up the date of the year or any other page and get a tidbit about leadership and management. And those are two books that I use for my own personal motivation from time to time. And then a book I kind of fell in love with more on the political side was a book called The Heart of Power. And it's about the presidents from Theodore Roosevelt all the way to George Bush and their perceptions of healthcare. And I think, you know, if we dive behind each of those administrations, I think you find that every single president, Republican and Democrat, had a personal need and desire to improve healthcare. It may have had political slants to it one way or the other, but they were all interested in improving healthcare. And that book's by David Blumenthal and James Marone. And I've always enjoyed that one to get a little perspective of where we came from building the healthcare systems that we operate today. And it gives me thought about where are we going to take it in the years to come.
Well, fantastic. Chris, it's always great to visit with you. You're a unique and fascinating leader and a great leader. We appreciate you joining us so much on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. Thank you as always, Chris. Just fantastic.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate what you and all of your people do to keep us informed and to educate. That's true leadership as well. So thank you for what you do.